less reinforced for feelings. It may be even biological, genetic. I mean, in the old days when men were hunting mammoths, and I believe men probably went out in the hunts more than women. I think there's some anthropological evidence to that. When they were out hunting or in battle, did they have to be in touch with their feelings? Well, no, but they had to be in touch with their intuition to survive. But not so much in the emotional area. So when men are in touch with their feelings, when they know, yeah, I'm feeling angry, I'm sad, you know, they're also more in touch with their intuition. So it's really not women's intuition. Truly, it's human intuition. We all have a subconscious mind, a basic self, whether we call it the inner child, whatever we call it. We all have that capacity. The question is, do we trust it? Carl Jung once wrote, "The great decisions of human life have far more to do with instincts and other unconscious factors than with conscious will and well-intentioned reason. The shoe that fits one person pinches another. There is no recipe for living that suits all cases. Each of you carries your own life plan, which cannot be superseded by any other." Trusting your intuition is really about trusting yourself. Two ways of knowing about the world: what we study and what we sense. Now, how does intuition work differently, probably, in you and the person next to you or someone you know well? We have five senses in the world: sight, hearing, smell, taste, touch. Our intuition works much the same way. Some of us get pictures. We don't know what they mean, but we get these symbolic, kind of symbolic pictures that turn up. Colors, impressions, but they're visual. Some of us, that's how our intuition works. We get a picture. Others of us, it's more auditory. We hear a tone or a song. Or, I'll tell you something funny happened to me. I was on a radio show. Her name is Bonnie. It's called Seeing Beyond Radio in California. I was in San Francisco in the studio, and she was new at this radio station, and the computer wasn't working. And she went through half the program talking with some guy on the phone, going, "How does this thing get it to work? We're not hooked up. We're not linked up." And I started humming, and I had no idea what I was humming. I just, And it turned out I was humming, "My Bonnie Lies Over the Ocean. My Bonnie Lies Over the Sea." And again, her name was Bonnie. I had no idea why that, I hadn't hummed that tune in years. But she felt so far away at that moment. That's how impressions come, auditory impressions. It can be songs, it can be voices. Some people hear voices, it could be their own voice, or the voice of a parent or a teacher. Could be even Socrates. Point is, some of us hear voices that aren't hallucinating or schizophrenic, but it's just our way of getting the information. Some of us, though, it's not so much visual or auditory, we get a feeling, a gut-level feeling. Kinesthetic, kind of, that feels off. My back hurts, my knee, something feels off, or good. More rarely, we get a smell, something smells rotten about this. Or we get a taste, this is a sweet deal. Point is, there's also another kind of intuition which is non-localized. It's not a vision, it's not a thought, it's not a sound. It's just a non-localized knowing. Just knowing, and you don't know where it came from. Once you start to tune into that, life gets really interesting. It doesn't only help you find parking spaces, though it can work for that a lot of the time. The key to opening to your intuition is letting your mind get out of the way. It's good to think rationally, and it's good to intuit, but not at the same time. If you're trying to figure it out, your intuition's in the background. In the background. You have to start with a cosmic duh. You don't know anything. You're looking for a parking space and you go, "Well, I don't know. I don't know where space is. I don't know anything." If you think, "Well, maybe logically most people turn right," that doesn't work. You just don't know, and from there you get an impression. Check it out. See if it works. Sometimes it will, sometimes it won't. Again, it can be an amusing party game. The way it works is this. There's a game where I can hide a coin in one of my hands or the other. And I can hold it out to you. And if you and I practice this, you can try this with a partner. I know where the coin is, right? It's not a double blind experiment. I know where the coin is, but I'll do my best to hold my hands equally. And you look down and you don't know where it is, but you know what? Your subconscious knows where it is. Because our subconscious minds are in touch. They're connected. Let me give an example. Have you ever watched someone getting a massage? a friend, you know, just getting a back rub. It relaxes you. Have you ever walked into a room where somebody was really upset, but they weren't owning up to it? Then their face was blank. But boy, you walk in, you can cut it with a knife. How do you know? Oh, someone might say you're picking up on subtle cues. Well, maybe. But, I mean, once in a while when I'm doing a seminar, somebody has a serious issue with me or with something I've said, and my attention goes wham right to that person, and it keeps going, and it's like, what's going on here? How do I know? I can feel it. Our subconscious they're all in touch. So that's one example of how intuitive capacities can work. You know, but you don't know you know, and you don't know how you know, but you know. Let me give you an example I would challenge anyone to explain away. It's a pretty silly example, and I wish I could give you a more uplifting example of intuitive capacities that we all have. But this is how it happened. I used to do life purpose readings by audio tape. Before I wrote The Life You Were Born to Live, people asked me, please do a life reading for me. So I would take a tape library, one of the 37 life paths, and I would determine that person's life path and send it off. Very accurate, as you'll find if you ever look at The Life You Were Born to Live. Scary, it's so accurate. However, I would send these tapes off, and I charged, I don't know at the time, probably $25 for them. And so I would get checks every day. In the mail, we'd open the mail, look, there's a check, please do it, send me a spiritual law life reading on audio tape. Next one, same thing. Next one, same thing. And I had about 5 letters that day, and I opened the third one or whatever, and I looked, and it was a bank check, a regular imprinted check, a signature, and it said, please send me this, this is my birth date. And I held the check, and I went, something's wrong with this check. I had never done that before, and I've never done it since. Now, we've had checks that have bounced. Somebody just screwed up their bank account. You know, that happens. But in this case, I could be remembering wrong, right? You could explain that maybe I had suspicions about lots of checks, but no. But the point is, I called the bank, and I'd never called, physically picked up the phone and called the bank to check on a check before. And I had no reason to do it. They said, oh, the number's been changed. I had to make another long-distance call, a second one. So something must have been there. They called me, and I learned that this person had closed their account 3 months before. There were no funds. They had written a bad check deliberately. I sent the check back and said, next time, please send a good check if you'd like a reading. I never heard from them again. Now, how did I do that? I don't care if you're ahead of the skeptic.